Hello there. Come on in. Wednesday night. Thank you for coming and joining me. Get your Bible, and we're going to get right into the Word. Want to remind you not to forget to send your offerings in. We function on that. And so thank you so much. And we give to the Lord, and we're forever grateful to give to Him. Now, let me say to you tonight, in Porterville, we are fogged in, not with fog, but with smoke. It is so smoky out there. And I want to say to Pastor Wayne Neal, some of my friends in Missouri, if you think you've seen fog here, you haven't seen anything like this darkness. I was out early the other morning and that fog was rolling in. I thought it was or either low clouds, and it was actually smoke. There had been a fire on the reservation. That's the foothills that are close. But it just gets a hold of our allergies right in the middle of everything going on. But anyway, thank God we're good. So I've got some hot tea here beside me. I may have to drink some of that and some water, but we'll be good. All right. Let me pray. Wonderful Jesus, I thank you for your mighty Holy Spirit, who is always near to help us. He pours his Spirit out upon all flesh. Lord, whether people are in you or outside of you, we're all going to experience that same outpouring. And Lord, with this body of Christ, we are looking so forward to that. And we thank you for pouring your Spirit out tonight upon your Word and upon your servant. Anoint my voice, Lord. And we just command all of that allergy to flee in Jesus' name, and bless your sweet people who are listening. Those I know that say it's coming through their air conditioning vents, Lord, we bless them. May you bless them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's all well with you tonight. I wish I could read as I'm watching. I know there's a lot of other preachers seem to be good at reading and talking to. Well, I'm not, because I get so engulfed in what I'm doing. But if you have your Bibles or your phone or whatever you're going to be looking at, go to Matthew chapter 7. And I'm at, actually, you know, politicians and some people get in trouble for plagiarizing. But that's what I'm going to do tonight. I am going to plagiarize one of the greatest sermons ever written. And that was written by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I'm not going to give you, of course, that entire sermon, or we would be here until tomorrow. And yet Jesus could hold a crowd like no other. And so I'm just going to take a portion that you're familiar with. But you know, in that Sermon on the Mount, it covered three chapters. And when we were there in Israel, we went to the Sermon Mount. Oh, it was amazing to see. And they had little plaques that were set up along the way to tell us this is when he said, blessed are those who are peacekeepers, and blessed are the poor in heart, and blessed, and blessed, and blessed. Well, that was a part. That's how he began his Sermon on the Mount. But as you begin to look through it, you might want to read it in chapter 7. Actually, 5, 6, and 7. He started in chapter 5. And he's really addressing the scribes and the Pharisees and those who had been under the law of Moses, because they just couldn't grasp a hold of what was getting ready to come and the new ways of the new covenant after Jesus passed and was resurrected and went away. So Jesus is trying to explain to them that you live this way. And under the old law, it said, if you commit adultery, you'll be put to death. But Jesus said, but I tell you, even if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery. So his words, even though we're under the new covenant, they're much more severe than the Ten Commandments were. I'm telling you, maybe I'll give you a little more of that later on. But then he goes on in his Sermon on the Mount, talks to the people about them being a light and the light of the earth, and to keep asking, knocking, seeking, don't judge anybody. But here's where I want to take you tonight, because this is very, very serious. And if there's anything that I would like to teach our Landmark people, and it's been my heart's desire over the years, and now that we've been going through some of these hard things that we've gone through the last couple of years, I see that we have produced great strength in the people of God. You guys, you are some of the strongest people I know. I've watched you stand tall with your head up, shoulders back, and I love the church that stands strong. And I believe it's because of these words of Jesus that I'm getting ready to give you tonight. So we're not going to read right now. Let me just lay a little foundation on it. But when we leave, excuse me, when we build on a firm foundation, you know this is the truth, we can withstand anything in the world that comes our way. That's how we withstand it. That's how you're as strong as you are, is because you are built on the right foundation. Now, we're going to have a missionary come here pretty soon. He and his wife, young couple, full of the Holy Ghost. And they're from Peru. And my sister was telling me they had came to their church and they were talking about in Peru, when they build their homes, they have to build it on a tall foundation, but it's not much of a foundation. It's just boards and 2x4s stretched up. And they said, you'll walk inside the house and sometimes you can just kind of feel the home moving. It's not real strong and real balanced. Sometimes they collapse. So you probably know where I'm going tonight. But Jesus, as he comes to the end of his Sermon on the Mount, he preaches them a very important part of the message. To some of the people, it's a great warning, and to others, it just gives them hope. To one, it's a warning that you either better get in or get out, but it would be best for you to get in and build a solid foundation. So a word of hope to some I'm going to bring tonight, and maybe a word of discipline or a word of warning to others. So please stay with me. I want you to hear this because it's going to build strength in us. And if you're messing around at all, you better hear what I have to say tonight, because this is not me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's message. I am borrowing from him tonight, preaching his very words, not Paul's words, anybody else's words. These are the words of the Lord. I believe that when Jesus was getting ready to bring this, he saw those scribes and Pharisees. He knew that they knew the law of Moses. Oh, they looked good on the outside, but the inside, he said, was like a dirty plate. You wash the outside, but the inside's dirty. He said it was just corrupt on the inside. And then he begins to talk about how people hear his word, but they don't put it into practice. Or you've got to remember how the enemy comes at his church. He comes to us from so many different avenues. And Jesus walked and talked with the fishermen and tax collectors and the doctor and great men and women, and some of the women followed him. So Jesus knew the habits and the ways of humans and his people. And so he realized, especially just talk about Peter for a minute. And you know, poor Peter's failures and weaknesses, and we bashed him so hard, but there was Thomas and Judas, and you know, we all have our faults. We all have our quirks and weaknesses. Yes, we do. But the enemy will do all he can to trick us into thinking we're okay, and that we're acceptable, and the way we're living is okay, even while everything is crashing down around us. And you have to realize at that point that if you're losing hope and you're beginning to get aggravated at God and you don't like the way things are going, well, a lot of times we don't like the way things are going, but watch yourself and pay attention, because the devil will trick you into thinking, you know, if you say, well, you know, I got so upset, I just went and got drunk. Well, you think God is winking at that? He said, no, I'm not winking anymore. So pay attention to your actions, because the devil will come back and say, well, you're God's favorite. That's okay. And so he wants you. I believe one reason Jesus gave us this message that I'm about to give you is because he knew that the devil would try to get us to take shortcuts as we're living in the kingdom of God. And while we're on our way to heaven, Satan would try to convince us that you can take shortcuts in living for God and in being obedient to him. And yet Jesus tells us over and over in the book of John, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Jesus's 10 commandments are much more severe than the 10 were. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Satan, I can see it today in the church, and I give you warning this night that he has come and tricked a lot of people into thinking, oh, I don't have to be faithful. You know, I don't have to be faithful to the house of God. Are you kidding me? You say, well, we are the church, Pastor. Folks, look, I know we are the church. I know it. But there is a place. There are houses of God. We attend the house of God every Sunday and Wednesday nights, and we go there to pray. We go there to gather because we are his people, and we need to have a place to come together where we can pray and where we can be together in fellowship and hear the word of the Lord and worship. You say, I can do that at home, but why not join the saints? So Satan comes to make us think that we can just go ahead and have some shortcuts. Well, if I just take off one Sunday a month, then I'm there the other three Sundays. When I see the saints of God, when I see them, I can see many people today. There's few people in the house of God that are there consistently. Now, I understand that we take vacations, that people get sick, and if you're sick, then you know you're sick. I'm not talking to you. I mean, if the shoe fits, then wear it. If it doesn't, then don't put it on and don't whine about it. If you're sick, you know better. But if you're not sick, you know better. Okay? So don't be making excuses. If somebody comes to your house, they know you go to church on Sunday. You don't stay home with them. Okay? That's your house. That's God's house. Is God's house more important than your house? No. That's where we go to get filled up. So there is no shortcut to faithfulness. I don't care what it is. There's just no shortcuts. And there's no shortcuts. Satan will say, well, you know, it's just a bad habit. No, is it a sinful habit, or is it a bad habit? Bad habits can turn into sinful habits. How about those little white lies? You make up lies to your boss or to this person or that person or to your wife or to your husband. Satan lets you think, well, it really wasn't a lie. Oh, yes, it was. If it was not the full truth and nothing but the truth, it's a lie. So we must be very careful when you see these things starting to develop. And then, listen, this is a good one. Well, it's a bad one, but it's an easy one. The Satan comes and tells God's people, I believe we've all said it before, God understands me. Well, he understands you, but he doesn't understand sin. He loves you and we can all repent, but when you start walking consistently in sinful lifestyle, then that's going to get you in trouble, folks. And you'll say, well, he'll wink at me. I wouldn't say that anymore because he said there's coming a day. At one day, God said, I winked us in. I'm not winking anymore. So if you continue to ignore the sayings of the Lord, now that's a word that Jesus is going to use right here. He said, keep my sayings. But if we continue to ignore his sayings, you might be surprised one day to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. And those are going to be the saddest words anyone will ever hear on earth. Now, we want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful service. Come on in. What was the word he said? Faithful. Faithful to him, faithful to his house, faithful to your family, your wife, your husband, just faithful. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. All right, so let me read before we could talk on this all day before we get there. But let's go to Matthew 7. I'm going to start reading in verse 24. I'll read down through verse 29. Please listen. Therefore, I'm reading from the New King James. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat, remember that word, and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, we say the word, he said these sayings of mine, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. What is he saying there? If you hear these sayings and you say, "Ooh, that was a great message. Wow, did you get that message Sunday morning? Pastor did a great job. Oh, that word was so powerful. I loved it." But if there's no root in you, then you're going to go home and forget all about it. And the Bible says in Mark, when hard times come, then you're going to fall apart. Why? Because it didn't take root. And so Jesus said, if you just hear these things, what have you done? But if you hear them and do them, then you're a wise man. But if you hear these words and then go away and do your own thing and think it's all just fine because the devil's just coming to you and fooling you, then you got another thought coming, folks. Okay, if he hears these words and does not do them, he'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat, there's that word again, beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. These people said, we have never heard anything like that. We are just used to the law of Moses being preached and taught by the scribes and the Sadducees and Pharisees and those in the temple. And we haven't heard anything like this coming from the Lord Jesus. Well, let's start to look at this a little bit. And I love it because Jesus uses a scenario here. I'm always talking to you about the natural things and the spiritual things. And if we understand the natural things, then we can understand the spiritual things better. So Jesus knew that. So he uses this scenario or this type, talking about a house and a type of our soul and spirit, a type of a child of God. And then he begins to exhort on it. And so what he's saying here is if you begin to compromise, you're a very foolish man. Because if you take any shortcuts on the foundation of a house, you men, you guys are builders, you've built homes, you've remodeled, you know about a foundation much more than I do. You could come here and probably tear this message up preaching it tonight when you start talking about foundations. But all I can understand from this is Jesus said, if your house does not have a solid foundation in me, that house, it's going to be hit. It's going to be beat on. Now listen, we all take the same beating. You just saw that. He said the rain is going to come. And the wind is going to blow. And the floods are going to rise. And sometimes you just go through one thing right after the other. And you're like, oh God, I got to get off this cycle of defeat. Get on a cycle of miracle living. What's going on, Lord? It's just one thing after another. And you're just what? Beat, 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 beat. But it sure makes a difference about your foundation. So if your foundation is not built like the people do in Peru, just a few little things here and there, I'll serve the Lord when I feel like it, and I'll read my Bible. I don't have time to read my Bible. And Pastor, I just feel, one lady told me, I feel conspicuous when I pray. I don't like my voice when I'm alone and I pray. And she said, I just feel like it's just me and the walls. I said, well, it is. It should be. Just talk to Jesus like you're talking to a friend. But if you're making excuses for not doing all that, then, when you're beat on with these kind of things, it's going to hurt. And it could hurt you really bad. And it's not fun to slip over into depression and fear and feeling like you've been defeated. But I can promise you right now, if you compromise with shortcuts on building your life in Jesus, it's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to get under stress. You're going to get under the storms of life, just like the world does. He said it's going to beat on the world. The world's going to have storms. The people you work with that are unsaved, they're going to have these storms. You, the woman, the man of God, you are too. But it just depends on how strong your foundation is when the stress comes along. And the worry and all that, if it comes in storms of life, what you do about it. And I tell you tonight, let me remind you one more time, these are Jesus' words, not mine. In fact, they're written in red for three chapters. Now you remember when Paul was preaching one time, He preached so long that a man named Eutychus was sitting up in the window and he fell out. He fell out to his death. At least they thought he was dead. Paul preached so long, they just went out and resurrected him, put him back in the house, and Paul continued preaching. And I think that's about what Jesus did here. This was a long message. I'm like, dear Jesus, you know, we just get a few minutes on Sunday morning, but I think everything is coming into a whole new place. And all of us little spoiled brats that can't take more than a 30-minute sermon, and we've got to be out of there. We can't take more than two or three songs, and that message was too long, and this, oh, well, that's going to come to a close because there's a dividing. There is a dividing going on right now, church. I'm just telling you, there is. So what Jesus is saying here is, I am not interested. And folks, you shouldn't be either interested in this, what I'm about to say. Jesus was saying, it doesn't matter how strong you look like on the outside. It just does not matter. You know, you might go to church and act like you're strong. And I believe that most of you that are watching tonight, or I know many of you in the church, you are strong. Man, you're bold. I love to see the strength I see in you when all this hits. But it doesn't matter how it looks on the outside if the foundation isn't strong. See, nobody sees the foundation. Nobody sees when you're building that foundation. Nobody sees when you're alone with him. Nobody sees the tears you shed. Nobody sees the effort that you take in nourishing your relationship with Jesus. And so that's the part that has to be strong. And so depending on where you build, it will depend on whether you stand or whether you fall. Because Jesus said, let me take you to verse 26. Look at this. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he'll be like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And when it all comes, verse 27 says, the rain descended, floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And after that, look at this. And great was its fall. It's not just a fall. You won't just fall, but you'll fall hard. And you know, I don't understand. Of course you don't. We will not understand until we get to heaven, folks. We're just not going to. We're going to take the same beating as the world. Well, I pay my tithe and I go to church and I do this and I do that. Jesus said it's all about the foundation. It's not about what you do. It's not about how strong you look on the outside. How strong are you on the inside? Well, I'll tell you this, folks. You'll find out how strong you are on the inside when that flood begins to rise, when things begin to happen that you don't understand, and it's a horrible thing. But Jesus was, remember who he was preaching to. He was preaching to people who had their mind all set in another way. Their mind was set under the law of Moses. This is how we've done it for years. This is the way we're going to continue to do it. And Jesus said, that's not going to work anymore. And so that's why I have to bring you his message tonight, because what we've done before is not going to work now. It's just not. And so there's going to be a demand put upon you and a demand put upon me as a pastor, a demand put upon you. Some of you girls, some of you people, you need to be teaching. We need to have teachers for our children, but nobody wants to miss the Sunday morning service. But if Jesus calls you, there may be a demand put on you to go out and teach and miss every Sunday morning service. Listen, folks, we've got to raise these little children up. We have to raise them up, get them up in the name of the Lord. They've been setting out now for over a year. And it hurts me. There's much work to be done. There's so much that we have need of. So Jesus is starting to, he's always put a demand on people when they got stuck in a rut. Now these people weren't in a rut. That's just the way it was. They were under the old covenant. Okay, we're under a new covenant, but I can tell you what we're getting ready to come into. It's not another new covenant, because there's only the old and the new covenant, but it is a new outpouring. It's another way of doing things. And so I'm just saying, Lord, all I can say is I submit. Whatever you want, I'm ready to go. If you tell me to sit down and become the janitor, I'll do that. If you tell me to go out and be a soul winner and hit the streets, well, I'll do that. but I know that I've been called to preach. I founded this church and do what he's called me to do. And I know many of you are getting ready to move into another place. And I mean, it's going to be quickly. You may be leaving, you may be going, you may be staying. I don't know, but I just feel a separation. I just feel some things happening and I can't even understand it. I don't know, but I just want you to be ready. I want to be ready and full of strength. Hallelujah. So here's something greater though. Jesus said, now for the one that hears my words and does them, see, that's what you do. You're obedient to him. Then you're a wise man that's got your house built on the rock. And when the rains come in, all that comes and beats on your house. And beats on your house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You're not going to fall because you're founded on the rock. You know who Jesus is. It doesn't matter who we are. You know, people spend a lot of time. I know who I am in Jesus. Well, I'm glad I do too, but I want to know who Jesus is. I want to know him, the best of him. Hallelujah. So what Jesus is giving here is a total different way than what the Pharisees and scribes have been used to. Well, I'll tell you what, church, to build on this rock, something else has to happen. We have to invest in our Christian life. And I mean, not just walking the same old walk, talking the same old talk, but I'm talking about an effort to get in. When those men were carrying that paralyzed man, they took the roof off the house and led him down to Jesus. Man, that was an effort. You're talking about investing in faith. They took the roof off. Listen, what I'm giving you tonight, I don't even understand it. This thing is boiling up in me so much, I can't even tell you how high it's going to go. But there's something about taking that roof off. There's something about him saying, invest in your Christian life, in your walk. Invest in yourself, in Jesus, in who you are as a child of God, okay? I know we give to the Lord, we tithe, we bless him. It's one thing to minister to the house. It's one thing for me to even minister to the house and preach to you as I'm doing now, for you to lay hands on each other and pray for each other, and to be on the praise team and sing and praise and be an usher and be in security. That's one thing. We're ministering to the house, but it's another to minister to him. And that's what he's calling for tonight, is I want my people to come here with me because I have some things I want to do. So folks, we cannot, in doing this and investing in him and building on the rock, we can't spend any time today forsaking the church. We can't. The word apostate is a big word. It means departing from. Now, I told you a couple of weeks ago at church, they're talking to us today about social distancing. We come to church, we social distance, we stay 6 feet away, even when we bring our offerings up to the front. Okay, we do that. But I'm seeing people today even social distance from the church. Now, for some, it is fear. For some, they're sick. But you get well after a while. You don't stay sick forever, so you cannot forsake the assembling. The assembling means coming together. We cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If Jesus said that, it was important to him. He didn't want us to pull apart. Sunday's the only time that we get together like this. Now, some of you like to go to a dinner party or a reunion or all this. Well, every Sunday, that's when we come, the first day of the week, to get together with each other, like-minded people, one mind and one accord. And I'm just going to tell you this. I feel this in the spirit. I would not miss if I were you, because we have no idea what's going to happen from week to week. You turn on the news in the morning, you're like, oh my God, are we still here? What's going on, Lord? What's happening? But I can tell you right now, it's like that on Sunday. It's like that when we come into God's house together. Now, you can stay at home. Yes, you can stay there and pray. But there's something about coming together. Invest, folks. Invest. And I'm going to tell you, do not run with those who don't go to church. Now, if they've just not pulled away here, if they've been out now for a few years, don't run with them. Stay away from them. Because they will talk. You will start talking their talk. you'll start compromising. Well, you know, I have church at home and I read my Bible and I pray, but you're not assembling yourselves together. And Jesus said, the closer the coming of the Lord gets, don't do that. He said, do not depart because you may depart from the faith. He said, I'd never do that. I know a lot of people said that. I'm just saying, be careful. Jesus said, you heard my words. Don't just hear them, do them. Now, don't get mad at me because I'm just bringing you, these are his words, they're not mine. So be careful. Don't run with those who don't go to church. Because listen, if they ask you, where do you go to church? And you go, how many times have people invited maybe people to church and they get there and you're not? Well, that's an embarrassment. So listen, and don't go where the world goes. You've got no business going where they go, drinking what they drink, saying what they say, acting how they act, dressing like they do. Why do you want to dress like a hoochie girl on the street? Why do you want to dress like a guy out there in the world? Why? He said, stay away from all that. Listen, we don't do that. We don't do what they do. We don't talk like them. We don't act like them. Listen, we live in the kingdom. Are we perfect? No. But we live and move and have our being in Jesus. And the difference in us and the world, when we realize that we're on this rock, listen, he is so sweet and he is so kind. He will convict us of our sins. Now, as long as you are built on the rock, and you were staying in his house and assembling together with God's people, you're not running with the world. You're not talking like them. You're not watching the same movies they watch. You're not making excuses for watching pornography on your phone. Now, you get all those things that pop up on the phone. Men, if you're women, both. If you flip over there, now you know today, I found out the hard way. Those numbers came in. I didn't know it in the very beginning, and thank God turned it so quick. And I said, what was that? How did that get there? And people are now telling me, don't open any phone number that you don't know about. Now, you guys already know that. But guys or girls, if you're doing that and looking at that, and if you can watch a TV show where the men and women crawl in bed together, and Lord knows what you're seeing, then there's something wrong with you. I'm just telling you, that is not pleasing to the Lord. You may be accepted by the world, but you're not going to be accepted by Jesus. He's going to say, what are you saying? I don't even know you. Now he says, if you read my words and you hear my words, then keep them. Now at the first sign of spiritual weakness, you're starting to get weak and you're starting to go off and you're starting to make excuses for yourself. One lady used a curse word the other day and she said, excuse my French. You know what? I said, that wasn't French. That was English, but it was bad English. I was at a car wash one day and a man that owned it, it was a brother in the church and he used a bad word. Excuse my French. I said, no, that wasn't French. That was English. Bad English. So don't you say that. I mean, we're not there to judge him, but you know, they ask you to excuse him. So you can either say yes or no. Anyway, watch the spiritual weakness. When it starts to come on, first check your, number one, look, check your prayer life. And make sure that you're meeting with God every day. That you're meeting with him, not just bypassing, in a car, da-da-da, Lord, help me, bless my family, bless my children, take care of my money, Lord, I need $10 by next week, da-da-da-da. No, we're not talking about that kind of prayer. We're talking about you going into your secret place and getting alone with him. Just you and Jesus, nobody else in the house but you and him or in that room. Talking about that kind of prayer. So check your prayer life if you're getting spiritually sick. Or spiritually weak. Check the scriptures you're feeding on. When's the last time you read your Bible, except for just at church? When's the last time that you put a chapter in you? Check how much word you're eating. Are you eating the word? If you're not, your poor little spirit is going to get so weak. Now, if we didn't eat, we'd just be little skinny weaklings. No, we have to eat. And you have to eat this word or you're going to be spiritually weak. And check your church attendance. Are you missing? Listen, let me tell you something. If you start missing once a month, then you're going to start missing two a month. And if you start missing two, you're going to start missing three. And pretty soon you've gotten cold in your spirit. And you say, one lady said, I came three times in a row. Well, my little Jamie would say, toodly-doo. You came three in a row. What if Jesus only showed up to you three times in a row? Check your church attendance. Check your friends. Who are you running with? Who are you reading after? What are you looking at on your phone? How much time are you spending on your phone? You got to be spiritually strong. You want to be spiritually strong? The only way you're going to do it is to have your house built on the rock and not be compromising with the words of the devil. He said, don't listen to the words of the devil. You listen to my sayings. You hear Jesus' sayings, his words. And when your house is built on the rock, how are you going to know it? I'll tell you how you're going to know it. You will trust in the Lord with all your heart. Just like I've seen in the last 2 months, these sweet loved ones that's lost loved ones, and they've gone through a lot of tough things. Many of you have gone through some very, very difficult things these last couple of years. But I saw you strong. I knew where your house was built. You know what? Most of the time you can talk to someone in a few minutes and see whether they're built on the solid rock. Are they playing around like the Sadducees? Well, I look good on the outside, but inside I'm like dead man bones. No, it doesn't matter. If you look strong on the outside, you're going to crash and burn because the inside has to be stronger than the outside. So when your house is built on the rock, then you're going to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't matter how hard the rains get, how wild the wind gets, the windstorm, how high the floods go, and beat on your house, beat, 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 beat upon your house. It won't matter because you're going to trust him with all your heart. And you're going to meet with him all alone. No one else is watching. And you're going to tell him your needs. You're going to tell him all about what you've been going through as though he doesn't even know it. I think sometimes people don't talk to him because they think he already knows it. Well, I know he does, but I go and tell him anyway. I tell him again. He'll meet with you, and then you tell him your concerns about it. Tell him what you're going through, and tell him how you feel. Lord, this is hard. Tell him. And then if you're on the rock, you're going to read his letters. Read this Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Read it. Read his letters. And listen to his word preached. Listen, you can go on our website any day of the week. Now, Brother Rick's on vacation, and I hope he's having a great time. But you can go on our, so this message will be on a little later. But you can go on any time and get any one of the messages. You need to go on and take a look at them. And pull up one. Look, I try to title them so you'll know what they are. And this one was, let me go back and get my title so you'll have it. The Churches Stand Strong. The Church That Stands Strong. And I try to name them so that you'll be able to find the message. If you think, man, Pastor talked about so-and-so, then go on the website, landmark-christian.org, and you can find any of those messages in the archives and the most recent. So anyway, you'll trust him with all of your heart. You're going to meet with him. You're going to tell him your struggles. You're going to love on him. You're going to be intimate. You're just going to sit there and say, Lord, you are just so wonderful and so good. Have I told you how much I love you, Jesus? You've been so good to me. Then read his letters. Read all those sweet letters he wrote you. Listen to the word preached. I love to listen to messages. I love to hear the word. I'm probably going to listen to this one. I think this is good. Probably going to listen to it again. So just give him your love, and then you'll give him your praises. And you know what? Then you'll feel conviction. And if you do anything wrong, that conviction comes. You're going to get out of that mess. Man, you're going to repent. You're going to get over it because you felt conviction. You heard his words and you did something about it. But if your house is built on the sand, you're wishy-washy and you've compromised with every old, you know, worldly friend, guess what? Then you're not going to feel, you'll get to a point where you won't feel conviction anymore. Even when you did feel it, you started not doing anything about it. And when you start ignoring conviction, when you know it's wrong, what you're doing is wrong, yet you just keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, pretty soon it won't convict you at all. You just make excuses for why you're doing it. I'm doing it because they won't do this or whatever. But I'm just going to tell you, and you will remain in his house. When you're on the rock, you will stay in the house of God, and you will gather together with God's people as soon as you can. You won't stay in that position forever. As soon as you get well, as soon as you get home from that vacation, you'll be right in the house. If you have company, bring them with you, or say, stay here, but we got to go to church. So you'll meet up with all the same storms in life that the world does. You'll have the same old storms that the people at work have, but the difference will be your strength, the strength you have because of who you're built upon. And that makes a difference on whether you stand or whether you collapse, whether you're built on the rock, Christ Jesus, or whether you're foolish, foolish man and built on the sand. Well, I'll tell you what, you find a good, strong friend. The greatest friend you'll ever have is Jesus. But run with the saints, not the ain'ts. You know, that's what our old preachers used to say. They'd have sermons on the saints and the ain'ts. Well, we're not the ain'ts, we're the saints. So run with the saints. Let me pray with you tonight. And I pray that if you are struggling with some of these issues and you've compromised with the devil, now, he is as real as God is, and he will come and try to get you to compromise and trick you. And that's why, again, in Ephesians chapter 6, these are Paul's words given to him by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That means the tricks of the devil. So, Father, I thank you for every precious man and every precious woman watching. Lord, I pray that you have called people here tonight that have never watched before. It is not your plan, Lord, that we are foolish, compromising, weakened people. We're not to be simple spiritually. We're to be wise and strong, full of faith and full of power, full of hope, not full of hopelessness, not prayerlessness, but full, Lord, full of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit draws us to pray, draws us to your word, draws us to conviction and repentance. Oh, repentance is one of the very first signs of revival. And Lord, I feel repentance on the rise in the house of God. So Lord, cause your people to come back and not forsake the assembling of themselves together. Because, Lord, we want everybody to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But, Lord, there's others in our city that need exactly what we have at Landmark. We are going to make a mark on this land. And there's people, many, many people. Lord, there's going to be others that want what the other churches in town have. They'll find them. But I'm asking you to help those that belong to the Landmark family find us and help us to find them. As we go out to Starbucks and out to the places to shop and out to eat dinner at Applebee's or Black Bear, wherever we go, that we're a witness for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, may be gracious to you, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Until I see you again, I'll see you Sunday morning at 10. God bless you and keep you. And you guys stay out of this bad air so you'll be strong. In Jesus' name, amen.